All right, so let's talk about things that grow. Like things that grow, like
plants.
Very good. Plants.
Love.
Oh, high five. Because that's what we're going to talk about. Love. What else?
Trust.
Trust. Very nice. Good.
Fire.
Fire. Yes, in fact, there's a proverb that says, certain three things are never satisfied. Yes, four, never say enough. And one of them is fire. If you keep giving fire fuel, it keeps growing.
Grass.
Grass. Very good. We hope that the grass grows. And these days, boy, it's green out there in Pueblo, isn't it? What else? Things that grow.
Trees.
Nice. Trees. What else? Smiles. Your smile is growing right there. I was going. Smiles grow. What else?
We grow.
We grow. You guys grow. Excellent. Let's put two of those together. We can grow in love. Did you know that? That love kind of can start sort of small, like, yeah, you know, I like you. You're okay. But then over time, it's like, oh, man, I love you. You know what? I'd be willing to help you. And that's the way our love can be seen, especially is in when we're willing to serve one another. Yes, you've got one.
Be kind.
Kindness can grow. Very good. That's an excellent one. Well, today in church, we're going to talk about how love can grow and how it needs to grow. Let's pray together. Dear God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And as we grow, we see more and more of how great is your love towards us. And I pray for these kids that their love for you would grow, even today, as they hear your word, as they either sit here in church with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, or as they go to children's church, I pray that their love for you would grow. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great job. Off you go. Молодец, as the Russians would say. Молодец. Remember that one, Sunday school class? Mall of Debts. Молодец. Let's open our Bibles together to the book of Philippians. And if you've been coming for some time now, you'd say, hey, wait a second. I thought we were studying 1 Corinthians. Well, we are. But I'm headed off to Russia. And next week, you might wonder why we're going there. By the grace of God, well, we lived there for 9 years. We lived there for 8 years and kind of another one where we traveled back and forth. And we helped plant a church there 10 years ago. And so the church we helped plant is called Regeneration Church, and they are celebrating their 10th year anniversary. And I was asked, although I kind of gave lots of hints that I wanted to come, so I kind of invited myself, but I was asked if I would come back and celebrate with them and speak next Sunday. I thought I would share with you what I'm going to share with them, because it's very much from my heart to you as well. The title of the message this morning is That Your Love May Abound. Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to think about something, and I hope that maybe today or in the next couple days that you'll really give this some serious thought. If you had to sum up in one sentence, or if you had to express in one prayer request, your desire for this church going forward, what would it be? If you had to sum up in one sentence, or if you had to put into one prayer request your desire for this church going forward, what would it be? I'll tell you what mine is. My desire for this church is exactly Paul's for the church at Philippi, that your love would abound. That's it. That your love would abound. What I just read to you was the Apostle Paul's constant prayer for the saints at Philippi, summing up in these words, that your love may abound. Paul loved the church there. He loved the saints at Philippi. And he doesn't speak so much about his love for all the other churches. Philippi was a special church to him. As you probably know, he was the Lord's servant to plant the church there. It was the first Christian church in Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece. And the details of his mission trip and the fruit that it produced, we can read about in Acts 16. We're not going to go there. But you recall, there was Lydia, the seller of purple, and the Lord opened her heart to accept and receive the things that were spoken to her by Paul. She and her whole household heard the gospel and believed in Jesus Christ. Not long after that was the Philippian jailer. Remember that whole story? He was convinced by an earthquake and a number of other things. He was convinced that he needed to be saved. And he even came to Paul and Silas and he said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" What is the answer to that question? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. That's it. It's not jump through 10 hoops. It's not say 20 Hail Marys. It's not do a rosary. It's not go to confession. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that Philippian jailer was saved. He believed and his whole household. And from those two families, Lydia's, the seller of purple, and the Philippian jailers, from those two families formed a little local church that over time probably grew. Another thing that grows churches. They might grow in number and they might grow in other ways. Well, years later, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi as an expression of his love for them. And in verse 8, he says, "God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." He loved them. He wanted to be with them. I can tell you that when we're in Russia, I will miss you. I will look forward to coming back and being with you. But you know what? Some of you say, "Well, we hope you're going to come back." You know what? You travel overseas these days and all bets are off. Who knows? I hope that we make it back. But if I die in Russia, you can say, number one, he died doing what he loved. Because I love to serve people and I will love to serve the saints there. I know Denise will too. And number two, before he left, he told us what his desire was for our church going forward. And what is it? That your love may abound. That's it. That is my desire for this church. And that's because that is the Lord's desire for our church. You know what? God never gives any detailed indications that the church has to grow in numbers. It could happen you live in a town where a steel mill closes down, or where jobs get lost, or the economy goes bad, and people move away, and your church doesn't grow. But you won't find a command that says you must grow numerically by 10% a year. No such command. You have to add drums and a stage so that you'll get more young people in. You won't find that command. But you will find the command to love and many prayers of the Apostle Paul and others that love would grow, that love would abound. So that's my desire for you, that love would abound. In what ways and why is that my desire for you? Let's look at the details. Notice Paul says, "And this I pray," verse 9. And that's constantly. "And this I constantly pray for you." And that is my constant prayer for you, beloved. When I go through, I have a list of all the regular attenders at New Life. And your name is on that list. If you've attended here more than a couple of times, your name is on there. And I go through it and I say, "Lord," and I usually say, "Bless so-and-so. And I thank you for so-and-so." And then I say, "May their love abound. May their love for you and the love for the church abound." And when I come to my name, I say, "Lord, help my love to abound." What is love? How would you define it? If I gave you 10 seconds to define love in words, how would you define it? Time's up. All right, that was a quick 10 seconds. You know what? Even if I gave you 10 minutes, it is not easy to define love, not this love, not agape love. It is not easy to define love in words, nor is it necessary, because God has given us something better than a definition. He's given us a demonstration. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Present tense, God demonstrates. Even today, God is demonstrating his love for us in the cross. In that while we as a human race were still sinning against God, Christ died for our sins. And 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know agape." By this we know this kind of love. How? Not by a definition, but by a demonstration. "By this we know love, because he," speaking of Christ, "he laid down his life for us." That's what love is. Laying down your life for someone else. What's the application of Christ laying down his life for us. Do you know 1 John 3:16b? By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, or for one another. The question is, do we do that? Do we do that every day? Do we do that all the time? Do we love exactly like Christ loved? Day after day, decision by decision, do we really lay down our lives for one another, for the church? I'll speak for myself. I have room to grow. I have room to grow. I would guess that if you speak for yourself, you'd say, yeah, my love could grow. I am not yet on the level of Jesus when it comes to love. Paul knew the saints at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, in other words, including all the elders and all the deacons, verse 1, he knew there was room for their love to grow. Notice what he says, verse 9, and this I pray that your love, now stop there, your love implies, I know you have love. I know that you have this agape love. And in fact, if you're a Christian, you too already have love for the brethren. Don't let anybody tell you, if you're a true Christian, don't let anyone tell you that you don't love the brethren. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death and into life. How? Because we love the brethren. That's how we know. If you can look at your life and say, you know what, I love fellow Christians. In fact, I would give the shirt off my back. I would give the tie off from around my neck. I would give them fruit. I would feed them if they were hungry. If you can see that your heart is inclined to demonstrate love towards fellow Christians, hallelujah. You have passed out of death and into life. But, again, notice what Paul says. This I pray, that your love, which you already have in some measure, may abound, that is, abound to overflowing, still more and more. As if to say, it's not like you just have a little room to grow. It's not like he's saying, you know, you are right there, almost even with Jesus Christ in terms of love. It's almost like Jesus Christ is here, and you still have a long ways to grow in love. Boy, that's true of me. I don't know if you can say that of you. I can say that of me. I have long ways to grow in love. And this is my desire for us as a church. It's my desire for you. If I should never have the chance to see you or speak to you again, my desire for you individually and as a church is that your love would abound yet more and more, specifically in two areas, and specifically to two ends. Two areas and two ends. So in what areas does our love need to grow? And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. That's it, those two areas. Knowledge here, epignosis, full knowledge, refers to a full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Discernment here, eisthesis, is not used elsewhere in the New Testament, but it's used a lot in Proverbs, and it refers to insight into the significance of God's Word. I pray that your love would abound in full knowledge of Jesus Christ and in all insight into the meaning and significance of His teaching. How do we know that? We know that from Paul's use of the word elsewhere. For the first word, as I said, knowledge. In Ephesians 4:13, Paul identifies the goal of every local church, and it's that we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, same word, of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Paul was praying that the church, all the believers in the church, would become mature in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that you wouldn't know Christ just kind of a little, but that you would really, fully know Jesus. And in all discernment, as I said, that word's only used here in the New Testament, but the same root of that word is found in Luke chapter 9. Jesus said in 9:44 to his disciples, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. So he wanted that his words would really sink in. 9:45, Luke 9:45 says, they did not understand this saying. It was hidden from them. They did not perceive it. Same root word as we find here. They lacked discernment. They didn't fully get the meaning, the significance, the application of what Jesus was saying. So for what is Paul praying? And for what am I praying for you? That your love would abound still more and more in two areas. In knowledge of Jesus Christ and in full understanding or discernment of his teaching. But we got to stop here for a second. How can love grow in an area? I mean, that's pretty abstract, isn't it? I mean, how does love grow in a sphere? I don't know. So let me tell you a story. A story about Fred the fisherman. No offense, Fred. This isn't you. This is just Fred. We could call him Floyd the fisherman, but Fred sounds better. Fred the fisherman. At first, he simply became interested in fishing. At age 10, when his father was a serious fisherman, Dad took Fred along. He learned a few things. It was kind of fun. He caught his first fish. It was cool. But later, when Fred began fishing on his own, Fred found out that there's a lot more to fishing than first meets the eye. And soon he was hooked. His love for fishing, his love in the area of fishing, in the world of fishing, we could say, began to grow. And I say his love in the world of fishing grew because, as any fisherman knows, fishing is a lot more than fishing. Fishing is fishing rods and fishing reels and fishing bait and fishing lures and fishing boots and fishing boats and trucks that can pull your fishing boat. Right? And as your love in something grows, what happens? You begin to invest more and more and more of your time, effort, energy, money, attention into that area. The more Fred occupied his time with fishing, the more he learned about the best times, the best places, and the best methods, the more he loved it and the more he gave for it. Over the years, his love abounded yet more and more in fishing. To the point that one day in retirement, he said, for me to live is fishing. And you know what? For some, for me to live is hunting. For me to live is my pets. For me to live is my investments. For me to live is my job. For Paul, to live was Christ. What is he praying for? That the saints would get to the point where they would stop living for what is a waste of your time, effort, and energy, and where you would start living for Christ. That's the point. That your love would abound in this area of knowing Jesus Christ. That you would know the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. That you would count all else dung by comparison. Oh, knowing Christ, Paul says, that's what has meaning for me. This I pray, that your love would abound yet more and more in knowing Jesus Christ and in full discernment of his teaching. Why? Why? Why would that be so important? Look again. There are two reasons. Verse 10. That you may approve the things that are excellent. In other words, the reason why I pray this way for you, the reason this is my desire for you, is that I would want you to approve the things that are excellent. What does that mean? Well, to approve, that's the word for testing metal or money and then accepting it only after it's passed the test. You know, we had to get some money out of the bank to take over to Russia. And you know what? Money over there, if it has marks on it, they won't accept it. Or exchange rate. The exchange rate is cut by 10% because it's got a mark on it. You know, somebody wrote, you know, their name on there. So you got to get clean or brand new bills. Well, we had to check out the bills, and we only approved it or accepted it after it passed the test. That's the idea here. That you would approve, that you would first test and then accept only after approval the things that are what? Excellent. And that means of surpassing value. Jesus says in Matthew 10, do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. That's the same word here. In other words, I pray that your love would abound still more and more in the area of knowing Christ and in the area of really understanding the significance of his word, so that you would get to the point where you don't just do whatever, where you won't just give your time, effort, and energy to whatever, but where instead you will test things that you might do, that you might read, that you might watch, that you might listen to, that you might put your time into. You would evaluate those things as to value, and you would only approve the things that really have value. So let me ask you again as to whether your love can grow. If you think about everything you gave your time, effort, and energy to in the past week, did it all have significant eternal value? Mine didn't. And I'm not saying that I was sinning. I'm just saying that I need to grow up. I need to mature. I need to get to the point where I'm living more like Paul and more like Christ, to where I'm giving my time, effort, energy, money, talent, treasure, whatever, to things that are excellent, to things that are of more excellent value than what I sometimes find myself spending time, effort, and energy on. For some to live is sport. But how valuable is sport? For some to live is games. For some to live is computer games. For some to live is, like I said, fishing, hunting, whatever. Those, you say, well, you're saying those things are a sin. I'm not saying those things are a sin. And I'm not saying God is against enjoyment of His creation. And I'm not saying that you couldn't do something beneficial with those things, right? You can go golfing, hunting, fishing with a brother in Christ and encourage that person. You can ride your motorcycle in the mountains and encourage somebody. You could get a motorcycle ride with me because I need a friend who can ride with me in the mountains. But you got to keep up. I'm not saying you can't use those things, camping, enjoying God's creation, to do some good. But maybe you ought to do those things if you can do some good with them. And if you can't do any good, you know, if you're just going to go golf yourself today, and, you know, I don't know, if it's not going to do anybody any good, maybe you ought to evaluate. Is that the best thing? The idea is this: as your love grows in knowledge of Christ and in all discernment of His Word, you will begin to evaluate things as to their real eternal value. And you will begin to grow in maturity to the point that you are approving the things that are excellent, just like Paul, just like Christ. We all, I think, have room to grow in this area. And He's not condemning the saints, saying, you guys need to grow up. He's just saying, hey, this is my desire for you. And I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying, that's my desire, because that's my desire for me, because that's Christ's desire for all of us. We're all basically investors. All of us are investors. And we invest what Christ has given to us, right? Everything we have is from Christ. We invest that into various things. And Paul is basically saying, I pray that you would learn to invest in things that are excellent, like maybe more time in praying for the saints, more time in the Word of God, reading, studying, meditating, memorizing the Word of God, maybe more time in worship, in evangelism, in telling others about Christ, in fellowship with the believers to grow, in discipleship, in serving one another, in encouraging others, in edifying people. This I pray, that your love would abound still more and more in knowledge of Jesus Christ, in all discernment of His gospel, so that you would learn to approve the things that are excellent, meaning worthy of your time and energy. Why? Here's the ultimate reason why. Take a look. Verse 10. That you might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In other words, Paul was looking to the day when we all stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't want any of us to be insincere on that day. To be sincere means to be unmixed, pure. He wants us to appear before Christ with a pure love for Jesus. Not a fear that, oh no, you came too soon, I wasn't ready, I was goofing off, I was wasting, I wasn't ready for you. He wants us to appear before Christ sincere, unmixed, without offense, meaning having nothing in our life that is offensive to Christ, and filled. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. It's singular in the original. Filled with the fruit of righteousness, which begs the question, what is the fruit of righteousness here? I think it's love. I think it's love. I want you to appear before Jesus Christ on that day filled with a heart and a mind and a soul and a spirit, filled with love for Christ, with love for the saints, with love for God, with love for the kingdom, with love for the truth. Now, there are other fruits here. If it's plural, like it is in some translations, other fruits here would be knowledge of Christ, discernment of His Word, sincerity. But the real fruit I think he has in mind here is he wants us on that day, the day of Christ, to be filled with love for him, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Whose? Whose righteousness? It literally says in verse 11, being filled with the fruit of righteousness which is through Jesus Christ. This is a reminder of the gospel. The gospel of God's grace, which is what? What is the gospel? The gospel is, how can a sinner be right in the sight of God? How can you be someone who's been made by God, created in His image, given a holy law, called to walk in His ways, but we all sin against Him? How can you ever be right with God? And the gospel says that God, in His love for us, sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ alone lived a perfect, righteous life, and then He sacrificed it on the cross for our sins. And then He rose up from the dead for our justification. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, God in His grace credits that to you for righteousness. Romans chapters 3 and 4. That's the way Abraham was saved. How? By faith. His faith was imputed for righteousness. It's the blessedness David spoke of when the Lord does not count our transgressions against us. This is a reminder of the gospel. And Paul is saying, I pray for you. And beloved, I pray this for you, that your love would abound more and more in knowledge of Jesus Christ, in all discernment of His Word, to the point that you would begin approving the things that really have value, so that in the day of Christ you would be sincere, that means pure and unmixed, without offense, having nothing offensive to Christ, filled to the full with love for Christ, and that's the fruit of the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, and all of this would be to the praise and glory of God. Why? We love Him because He first loved us. That's why. Because all of this would be an outflow of God's love for us. In closing, and by way of practical application, I would like you to now name the 10 steps that everyone must take in order to grow in love this way. Did you get the 10 steps? I hope not. There's only one. Pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we cannot make ourselves grow this way. Only You can. And so we pray according to Your Word and according to Your will that You would help us to abound yet more and more in love. And in love, in knowledge of Christ, and in all discernment. We pray, as Paul did, that we would become mature Christians, sincere and blameless before Christ, approving things that are excellent, so that on that day we would truly be filled with the fruit of righteousness. All to Your praise and all to Your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.